I loved it. Bro. I thought it was
Shin Kai does it again.
Again.
I like being lied to. Kind of gets me off, you know?
Oh my god!
Hello, fellow weebs and otakus, another episode of Anime Fixer, your fix for all things anime. I'm Chase.
And I'm Lance.
Hi, Lance.
Hello.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been...
Again.
Yeah.
We've just been busy, man. We've just been busy.
I know.
Both of us. I know, man.
I feel like things are going to start settling down now.
I hope so.
Yeah. You know, get into a rhythm, you know, routine. Things are more consistent. Still busy, but controllable.
At least for 6 months for me, right?
Yes.
Damn. Yep.
That's okay, though.
I think it's okay. I think it's good. Change is good, right?
Yes. Change is good. If you're not changing, you're not growing.
Ooh, I'm put that on a coffee mug.
I think I might have a coffee mug that says that.
Or a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Something like that. What did we watch this? What did we watch last night, pretty much?
Yeah, I actually watched it this morning.
What? I thought you were going to watch it last night.
I was, so... Children Who Chase Lost Voices Deep Below, or Below the Deep.
I think it'd be Deep Below.
Yeah. So I was on the couch watching it last night, and of course, when it's late, you know, I start, I'm under the blanket, so I start to, like, doze off. So I'm like, I'm trying to pay attention. I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to have to rewatch this, read the recap. But then that bear shows up. And then my heart, I was like, what the hell is going on? And I said, okay, I am too tired to focus, and I need to focus on this. So I said, I'm going to go to bed and get up early so I can.
How early did you get up to watch it?
I got up at 5:30.
So you finished it at 7?
7:30, yeah.
8. Oh, wow, nice. Yeah, I was watching it last night, so I took that sleeping aid, right? Because I have trouble sleeping. And then I watched it all through, and the movie got done at 1:30 a.m. because I had to keep stopping it because my son had to go to the bathroom all the time. And then I fell asleep around like 1:40, like right after I turned it off, right? And I woke up at like 8:30. Because I slept through all my alarms, and when my wife like gets so upset at me because I sleep through my alarm, she just turns them off. Because she tries to tell me like 3 times, like, "Hey, get up, turn your alarm off," and I just don't. I don't hear it. I don't listen. So I just fall asleep. But yeah, at least I made it to 9.
Yes, you did.
Initial thoughts?
I loved it. Right. I thought
Shin Kai does it again.
Again. This was his, I think I was reading about it. This is his longest running film to date. Like, let's see here. Because it was over 2 hours.
It came out in 2011. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. How long is Your Name, his most recent one? Yeah. So Your Name was an hour and 52. How long is Weathering With You? Hour 54. This one was over 2 hours. So yeah, this is his...
I mean, longest running.
I mean, yeah, but still.
Can you tell how much better his storytelling got, though?
Much better. Much better. Everything. Yeah, from, like, looking at, Garden of Words, which was a much shorter film, but I felt it was more streamlined.
When did Garden of Words come out?
2013.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then, like, obviously, Your Name, grade A, just... amazing story, with all the twists and turns. Weathering With You, same. But yeah, his storytelling has gotten better, but he still was so good when he did this. Like,
he was good. He was very good. I agree. I could see like the twists and turns coming a little bit in this one versus like Your Name or Weathering With You.
Yeah. Did you like the big reveal where Mr. Miyazaki?
Yeah, Mr. Miyazaki, I think.
Yeah, he I mean, obviously, we saw him, you know, investigating the Quetzalcoatl, the bear, basically. Yeah. You know, you saw him there. We saw him as a teacher. The gatekeeper, right? Yeah, the gatekeeper. We saw him investigating the gatekeeper. We saw him, you know, as a teacher. And then you can hear, like, his voice. Like, you could hear it was the same person. And you even really see through his mask, like, the glasses. Yeah. So, like, the big reveal where it was, Mr. Miyazaki, you're part of Archangel?
Yeah.
Like, those kind of, I felt like those, you know, I mean, those are pretty obvious. Like, I knew that was coming. There was no surprise there, but.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty obvious, but, like, he got there so fast compared to, you know, compared to Asuna from Sword Art Online. Because she went straight there, right, to go find Shun.
Yeah.
But then he just shows up with his squad, Commander, right? And I'm like, how'd you get there so fast? You were just at your house.
Yeah, like, it was almost like
you had all your gear on and everything.
Yeah. So, it was definitely more fast-paced.
Parts of it, I would say.
Yeah.
I'd say parts of it, yeah.
Do we want to go this beat by beat? Do we want to just talk about it? Like, because I feel like there's a lot to unpack. Like,
there's both. A lot to unpack. I'm good with whatever.
So, it's not confirmed that I recall, but I did look it up, at least on the fan wiki. So, we're on board that Asuna's dad was an Agarthan. I think that's what they're called, Agarthans. He's from Agartha. Did you pick up on that?
I think so, because weren't the Izoku people still calling her? Well, defiled. I don't know. Yeah, called her a defiled, but he lived a long time on Earth compared to Shun.
But Shun was ill.
He was?
Yeah, that's why, at least when I looked it up, he had an illness. Mm,
okay.
Which is why it was so short-lived.
That's a good observation. I don't know if that's actually if that's.
I mean,
that'd be even cool.
Without explicitly stating it, it would explain why she had a clavis, a fragment of a clavis on her.
That's true. Yeah. Huh.
And why he was so, and why he was so, like, you know, the natural cycle of life, you know, stuff, you know, and a blessing when our daughter is born and all that kind of. I think we'd explain that. Because otherwise, like, how did she get it? Why did she have it?
Yeah, I think, it looks like Watase was a Agarthan and the mentor of Shun, Kana, and Prisus. Yep, that's cool. I did not notice that.
Did you also know? I mean, what? She was met a topsider, had a kid. I mean, he died when she was very young, so it wasn't like he lived decades, you know. Probably lived like
3 years.
Yeah. Because she was 11, so she was 11 or 12 when this story takes place, and I think her father's been dead 10 years. So, yeah. So, it was like 3-4 years.
Yeah.
You know, he was around.
Yeah. It really hit me when she said, I'm so alone, because she was alone a lot of the time, man.
Yeah, like, I almost thought that.
Even the people around her, she's still alone, yeah.
I started to think that her mother wasn't actually there as, like, a figment of her imagination, and she was just living by herself. Yeah, because she's like, oh, you came home early, Mom? Oh, I forgot to turn the light on. But we didn't see her mom until...
like, halfway through.
Yeah. But she's there cooking and doing laundry and all this stuff and taking care of this house, and has a strange wild cat from underground.
Bro, that cat was cool. I like that cat.
Yeah. Were you creeped out by the Izoku?
Oh, yeah, 100%. First time I saw him. Bro, it's like when they were both sleeping, you know, in the Zoku land, and like she's dreaming of like this sleep paralysis demon like coming, like,
yeah,
taking her. I was like, oh yeah, I would be freaked out by that. And like that cat can not do anything against those Zoku.
I mean, it's a pretty brave cat though. So
my question is, they took her and that other little girl all the way to their homeland or their base, right? And waited until the sun came up to devour them. That makes no sense to me. They couldn't devour them on the way there.
You see, that was a little bit odd too. They didn't wait for, like, we mean the, like, they placed them there, and then the sun came up, and then when the sun was coming down, they came out again to devour both. I don't know. That was really strange because it didn't seem like he was hesitating to devour her at the edge of Finisterra. You know?
Yeah,
that was weird. Just like, I must eat you. Maybe they did it because the sun was about to come up.
Maybe
when they found her, and so they were like, "We better get back to the base soon." Yeah.
That's fair.
But that's my only thought.
Have you noticed that most of Shinkai's films or works are set in an urban area, whereas this is like completely rural? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So weathering you with Tokyo, your name was Tokyo. Well, your name was kind of like split, right? Because
yeah,
there's the, you know, but it's close to Tokyo. So yeah, this is a completely urban area. You know, a year took place.
Rural.
It takes place in the 70s.
This takes place in the 70s?
Yeah. Oh. The only reason why I thought to look that up was when the grandpa was recanting how topsiders have been invading their land. Yeah, bro.
You see those Nazis there?
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I'm like, I can't. I'm like, how long has it been, right? Because, like, this is some mystical land that nobody really knows about, right? Supposedly.
Except for all the world leaders.
Except for all the world leaders. So it was a little bit odd. But it was, like, 1970, so, like, 30 years? Like, it's just been completely forgotten in 30 years?
Yeah, I guess so.
That was a little bit odd. But overall, I think this is a great story. Shin is kind of a dick.
Shun was cool.
Shun was cool. Shin was a dick. Mr. Miyazaki was a dick as well.
Most of the film. Like, last 4 minutes, very redeemable.
I know. Okay. Maybe the last 4 minutes? I don't know. Because, like, I was a little bit creeped out when the god of Agartha was like, I need a vessel, right?
Yeah.
For your dead wife's soul. Mm. And then when he turns around, he's like, I told you not to come here. And then he has this like little brief smirk. Right before, I'm like, oh, dude, this is a child.
Because it worked out. It worked out.
Yeah, but still, like that's your dead wife is gonna be inhabiting a.
But like, there was a there's a moment, you know, where he's like holding the knife to Shin's neck and is like, don't do it, right? Like if Mr. Miyazaki really wanted to keep his wife there, he would have, you know, ended Shin.
But so why do you think, so why would,
because he kept thinking about Asuna and how close I gotten on the journey, like every other, you know, anime.
Yeah,
the living more important.
I think it kind of had like a, I think it gave him maybe some peace, because like the last message she said to him before she left was like, find happiness without me.
Yeah.
That was kind of like a, I mean, you got to say goodbye.
Yeah.
In a sense, but. Why do you think people in Agartha, maybe I'm looking too deep into this, but like Shin and Shun seem to have like some superpowers, because like they're like jumping from like bridges and like levitating to the ground and.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That was very surprising to me.
But they're supposedly human.
But they're not topsiders, though.
So, like,
Agarthans or just have some, like...
Maybe because they're so used to living so far underneath the ground, the gravity is higher. So when they're up there, they're like Saiyans and they can, like, float better.
Okay. I don't know.
That is an explanation.
Not the best one, but it is an explanation.
But then, yeah, that was a little bit surprising. Like, these are supposed to be humans, and like they're like flying around. When Shun was facing off against that gatekeeper at the beginning, what was going through your head when you first saw that? Were you surprised? Were you like where's the story?
Where Shun meets the gatekeeper, or like when the gatekeeper shows up, or what?
Oh, just when that whole gate at the beginning with the when we first see the monster.
Oh yeah, I was like, whose dog is this? Who lost their dog? I'm like, well, this is gonna go like very supernatural very quickly. So
yeah,
but I was like, how is anyone gonna take this thing down without a gun?
Well, I don't even know. So like, he did like that roundhouse kick. Did he have like knives on his shoes or something, or did I miss?
I guess.
That's what I was thinking. And then of course the Clavis, he says like, oh, I don't know. The Clavis did something that kind of threw Shun for a surprise. So I felt that was a little bit confusing. Why did the Clavis kill the gatekeeper? Why did there was some, like, there's some questions, like, I get the Clavis is a key, but it seems the Clavis can do more than just unlock doors, right? As a little bit of powers behind it.
Bro, when that Clavis lit up and blew off the jaw of that gatekeeper, I was like, what is going on?
So, like, I felt like there were some questions that didn't, and maybe it's explored more in the novel. But I felt like there were some questions about that. I kind of got curious as to why are all these Agarthan creatures coming to the surface? All seemingly, it seems like it's like a sudden influx, right?
Yeah.
Was there some catalyst that pushed it? Those are kind of the thoughts I had.
Was it Shun like leaving, maybe? The gatekeeper trying to get Shun to go back or something?
I don't know. That's a possibility too. But it didn't seem like the gatekeepers had anything more going on than just guarding the gates, right? Like that one deer like creature that was just laying there, right? It didn't seem like that had anything going on. The one that was guarding the main entrance seemed to be very hostile to even Shun approaching. So, I don't know. I think
it's the cat. The cat wasn't with him. The first gatekeeper, remember? But the second gatekeeper, the cat, went up to the gatekeeper first.
Uh-huh.
So that maybe is why. Because the cat stayed in the backpack the first time.
Yeah. But there is just some questions like that. Like, what I kind of got curious more about the overall universe that we were watching, but what did you think of the soundtrack?
It was good, but wasn't as good as like Your Name or Weathering with You or any really of the other Shinkai movies.
Yeah,
I would give it on par with like Garden of Words with that soundtrack.
I'll agree with that. I think
like I liked it, but not memorable. You know.
Yeah. Same. I think Garden of Words is really special to me because of like the
I like it like a lot, the, man.
Yeah. So I feel like maybe like between the two, I'd probably like lean towards Garden of Words, but there's also other reasons why I like Garden of Words. So that could be a reason why.
Have you noticed in Shinkai movies, this is just what I'm reading on this internet website, but in Shinkai movies that he begins making like extensive use of lightning and weather to convey a certain atmosphere. So like when it's raining, there's a sense of romance surrounding light rain. It's only on rainy days where Takeo meets Yukari at the station. in Your Name. And then Garden of Words, The Rainfall, and Children Who Chase Lost Voices used in a more conventional manner. And like in 5 centimeters per second that we just watched, Snowfall comes to denote longing and separation. That was pretty cool. I didn't know you. I mean, I knew he used weather, but I didn't know you used it like in that kind of context.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah, like I have noticed that there's some common themes between like his he has a lot of focus in some of his films on like the sky, like that sort of like that purple hue and the stars and everything like that. Like you see in like Your Name, for instance, or in 5 centimeters per second. Like looking up at the horizon, and I noticed that a lot.
It's always raining in Garden of Words.
Well, it's the rainy season. That's the whole reason why our main character skips first period so he can go to the park and design shoes.
Nerd.
What a loser. No, I'm sure. Teach your own, man. Like making, I mean, that's cool. I think like the fact that he's making his own, he's able to make his own shoes, I think is super amazing. It's super awesome. If I could do that, I would. But it probably wouldn't be very comfortable. Anyway. Do you have any other thoughts on the film? Anything else stick out to you?
I understand the title now. Children Who Chase Lost Voices. Obviously, like, she's chasing to get Shun back. Even though the guy's an adult, he's a kid trying to chase the lost voice of his wife, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then, like, just moving on and accepting it and growing from it. I like that aspect of it.
There is an interesting point where Mr. Miyazaki and the elder is talking, the grandfather is talking, and he says to him, it's forbidden to bring someone who has died back to life.
Yeah.
And he's like... He said something that I would say, like, if it's forbidden, that means it's possible.
That's true. Good observation.
Who decides? Like, the kind of, that's sort of like questioning mindset, because that's the kind of stuff that I kind of ask all the time. Like, why do I have to do this? Like, why, what is the reason? Is there a reason, or is it just something that's, always been done that way, which I don't think that's a acceptable answer. Just because something has been doesn't mean it always needs to be. Yeah. So that kind of like resonated with me, that sort of like mindset. But I think the reason and why he finally accepts that his wife is gone might be to do with that. even if you bring someone back to life, you will eventually lose them again.
Yeah.
It's there's no permanence to being alive. And so like I think and maybe I'm projecting, but like I think that maybe that's why he sort of redeemed himself at the end, is because that was sort of his anchor to hang on to. It's like, even if I get her back, she's going to be gone again at some point. And so like, it's better to just let him go now than constantly live in this cycle of loss, of the risk of loss. Right.
Yeah, I agree. Do you, if given the opportunity, would you, choose to resurrect someone?
Like right now, like
I would
say deity before me and say, hey, yeah, I can bring someone back to life.
I would say both for like no consequences and also for like having a vessel and losing your eyes.
Yeah. The vessel wasn't enough. You had to take my eyesight too. You only lost one eye. Get over yourself, dude. At least I think you only lost one eye.
He's lost one eye, but I think the other eye is like dim, or it's like harder to see.
Yeah. Would I bring someone back to life? I don't think, even if there was no consequences, I don't think I would.
And it isn't because there aren't people that I don't miss. It's more of just kind of like I said, like I've moved on to a place where they're a happy memory, and you know, bringing them back would only cause me to relive any pain associated with losing them to begin with. Yeah, I can't, even for no consequences, I can't think of anyone that I would want to bring back.
Yeah, I'm the same way. There's like people that I would want to resurrect or bring back, right? But I think that the amount of pain, you know, obviously that felt like losing them, and like, you know, it's an inevitable part of life, right? And
yeah,
it's going to happen. You don't have a choice in it. So,
and
I would be in the same agreement.
I kind of also think that, because you like me, a lot of the people that you lost, you were probably a lot younger, right?
Some.
At least for me, most of the people that I can think of that I'd want to bring back, I was young when they went away, or I knew them, like maybe I was older, but the memories I have of them were from when I was really young, and I kind of think that maybe I wouldn't have as fond of a memory of them if I knew them longer.
Maybe.
Because it's kind of like, you know, never meet your heroes because they'll always let you down. There's something you don't know about them. And like, there's probably family members that I have, or at least I know there's family members that I have that have passed that, you know, as a child I was very fond of and had, and I still, you know, my memory of them is very fond, but I'm very fond of them, but I kind of hear stories about, and I infer things about them that who I am now doesn't find very ideal.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, which doesn't say that they weren't good people, but like they had some behaviors or beliefs that I probably don't really align with myself. And so I think that if I were to bring them back alive now, I would probably be actually miserable because now this person that I, you know, I've sacrificed, you know, even no consequences, like, I don't get to experience the memory I have of them before they passed. Because now I get an opportunity to know them better. And I'm like, oh, wow, you and I really don't align on a lot of things. Or you're not as great of a person like that I thought you were. You weren't as, you know, I put you on this pedestal as a kid. And you know, now it's like, oh, now we're more on the same level. And, you know, I'm not as fond of you. So it's almost better to let them go just so you don't lose that.
The Aqua Vita, like, liquid,
mm-hmm.
It would be so hard for me to breathe that in.
I was half expecting it to be some sort of, like, test, right? Like, I was going to, like, I wasn't expecting Asana to just do it so willingly. I figured she would be like, there's some test where you have to, like, but you have to believe that you can breathe in the... In the Aqua Vita, did we ever get an explanation about why the Aqua Vita? Miyazaki points it out quite a bit, like on the gatekeeper at the beginning, who died, and like he said, "Oh, it's crystallized," and
yeah,
and you can breathe in it. Did we ever find out why? What's so special about it?
I don't think so. Oh, it's well. Aqua Vitae is the name for distilled spirits in reality. I don't know them 100%.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, it might, like I said, it might be more in depth than the novel, which I will be reading. So, have you read it? Or have you only read 5 centimeters per second?
I haven't read it, no.
Okay.
Just 5 centimeters per second. I haven't finished that either.
The animation has gotten better, too, I think.
You mean for...
For or what Shinkai produces now versus what he produces.
Oh, most. Yeah. 100%.
I mean, noticed their
technology overall, yeah.
Well, yeah. It's still amazing. Like, even like everything from like the colors to the motion and all that stuff was just absolutely awesome. But I noticed that there were some, like, it felt like there were some common templates that were used for characters. Like, Mr. Miyazaki looked an awful lot like the dad in My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah.
And Asana looked an awful lot like Kiki, like an older Kiki almost. Like, I noticed some, like, common templates versus his animations now. I feel like the characters are more unique. I don't know. Do you feel the same way? Or do you feel like it's still, like, there's only so many ways you can draw a face? And
I think there's only so many ways, but you can clean it up a lot, I think. And, like, you can make it less jagged, you know, more crisp and more detail overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Any other plots in the story that you want to talk about?
The people in that village, like the soldiers in the village,
mm-hmm.
they really hate topsiders. Hate them.
Yeah. Yeah. Never mind that they saved one of our own. Like, hey, thank you, but can you kindly, like, fuck off?
100%, man.
Yeah.
They really didn't like him. Only the grandfather of the deaf girl was the one that was like, well, I can only.
Oh, was she deaf?
Yeah, that's why she doesn't talk. She's mute.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're necessarily deaf.
Well, I think she says she's mute and deaf, but I could be wrong on that.
A lot of deaf people don't talk. I mean, because they can't hear their own voice, it's hard for them to regulate, right? Maybe so it's hard for them to, like, regulate, like, how their voice sounds, even, like, subconsciously. But also sometimes, like, it's difficult for the I think it's even difficult if you were born deaf. Because you then have never heard anyone talk, so you don't know how you're supposed to sound, right? So it's even more difficult to, like, learn words. But being deaf doesn't necessarily mean that you're mute. You could be 100% deaf and, like, talk just as normally as you or I, especially if it happened later in life.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Mana, her father was a topsider, so that's why she's called a defiled too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't tell me if she's just mute or if she's deaf as well.
Hmm.
Oh, so she's mute as a result of having witnessed her mother's death. So she's not deaf.
So is it mute as in, is he's like scared to...
Probably.
Okay.
That's why the grandfather takes care of her.
I wonder.
Oh, yeah, look. Among the historical figures who have came and arrived in Agartha to pillage and burn include Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Napoleon Bonaparte, Adolf Hitler, and Joseph Stalin. It was implied that it was through the wealth of treasure and knowledge from Agartha that you were able to amass the resources to rule the world. Whoa.
So what made Agartha so powerful? Like?
Treasure and knowledge, I guess.
Now, like, what knowledge, though?
I don't know. I mean, maybe the ability to jump 25 feet in the air.
Is the author of the 48 Laws of Power a Garthan? And so, like, he... I don't know. It's just... I mean, I guess it doesn't need an explanation. It's sort of like plot, you know. It's there to move the story along and explain things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All in all, how would you rank this against the other Shinkai films that you've watched?
I like it more than 5 centimeters per second.
Yes.
I do like Your Name and Weathering with You more.
Okay, yeah, same.
I like Garden of Words more.
Same.
So, second to last.
So pretty much.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
No, I know it's not bad. Oh, no. It's just funny because, like, I think we're the same thing. I think where we might disagree a little bit is, like, I really like Garden of Words, but that sort of, like, that atmosphere, like, with, like, cyberpunk theme stuff, like, I will give a weaker story more stars if I like the ambience around the story. But it's kind of funny how you're ranking them, and I'm like, me about the same way in order of like release, right? Because 5 centimeters per sec. So let's see here. Yeah. Order of release.
I also thought it was funny that Mr. Miyazaki was climbing down forever, and then Shin and Asuna just fall down the yeah. giant pit.
Yeah, and then he fades away. It's funny how you're ranking it, like, because in the order of release, centimeters per second, 07, Children Who Chase Lost Voices, 11, Turn of Words, 13, Your Name, 16, Weathering With You, 2019.
I put Your Name above Weathering With You.
Ooh,
you wouldn't? You're gonna tell me that Weathering With You is better than Your Name?
No, I can't do that. I can't, in good conscience, say that Weathering With You.
I know you can't. I know you can't.
But there, it's so close. It's almost not even like fair to compare them. I think I would say that it's like there are some things that Weathering With You, like the soundtrack, dude. Like the soundtrack in Weathering With You.
Yeah.
The animation is better in Weathering With You.
I don't think the soundtrack's better in Weathering With You. I do think the animation is better.
Yeah. But it's so close. Like, but the story's better in Your Name, so like
way better. In my opinion.
So yeah, it's so close. Like, I don't think it's fair. It's almost
say that the story of Garden of Words is better than Weathering With You.
Oh yeah. I think that's because there's a lot less going.
More than Garden of Words. But it's a lot less what?
I'd say, because Garden of Words is a more, there's a lot more going on in Weathering With You. There's a lot more moving pieces, right? So you have to, like, with Weathering With You, you have, like, the niece, you have the uncle who lost his wife with his, you know, his daughter living with the grandmother. You have our main character. You have the girl with her little younger brother. There's a lot of moving pieces, right? And a lot of like different characters you have to like manage versus Weathering With You or versus Garden of Words is just primarily two characters, right? Everything around them serves everything around them is meant to serve their story. So it's kind of like two leads with a huge supporting cast versus Weathering With You is more like an ensemble cast. Where they all have a equal part to play. Yeah, I would definitely say story in Garden of Words is better than Weathering With You. Yeah. But it's so hard to choose though. I mean, like it's getting the older we go, it's easier. But like the newer films, they're so close.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I found the other two. So She and Her Cat came out in 99, but that's a short. I think Voices from a Distant Star is also a short. A full length feature. Yeah, Voices of a Distant Star is a short film, 25 minutes.
she and her cat is also a short 5 minute story. It's an animated 5 minute story. So, but his oldest feature film today is The Place Promised in Our Earlier Days in 2004. And I found it. I thought we couldn't watch it, but apparently Vudu has it.
What is it called?
The Place Promised in Our Early Days.
So that's his first one?
That's first feature film. Yes, that's his feature film debut. So he has done a lot of stuff before, but that's his like very first film he made, full length.
How long is it?
90 minutes.
Okay.
Do you want to watch it next week?
Yeah, we can watch next week.
Complete our Shinkai collection.
Yeah, Shinkai collection. Hasn't disappointed me yet.
No, not at all.
Studio Ghibli has.
Which Studio Ghibli has disappointed you the most?
You can guess.
The Cat Returns.
Yeah. The cat can stay where it's at. The cat can stay in the hat.
It's so good, though. It's so fun.
Not fun. Boring. Ridiculous.
But
plot's horrible.
Oh, man. But what about Rinaldo Moon? You have to love Rinaldo Moon.
No. I'd rather watch Porco Rosso 100 times over.
Oh, true. Porco Rosso is better than Cat Returns.
100%. He's a pig. When pigs fly.
I think that's all I have about this. Another S-tier film from Shinkai. S stands for Shinkai.
Oh, yeah. 100%. You want to talk about our goals outside the podcast, or just want to keep that between us?
Sure, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about? Which goals? You mean the what you just wrote me into last night?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Look, hey, did I show you these?
Oh, yeah, your new shoes?
Yeah, look at those.
Those are nice.
Bro, these are like the standard beginning like running shoes, I guess. Like if you're beginning into running and like long distance and stuff. I went to that place and they suggested those, and out of all the ones that they had me try on, I like those the most.
So yeah,
we have enough time. Do we have enough time? So like this is a 4 week beginning plan. And how long is the other one?
Maybe some context. If we're gonna talk about what's going on in our
personal
life, maybe we should say you wrote me into a half marathon.
A half marathon. I'm so excited for you and me.
Do you know why you want to rope me into this half marathon? It's what is it for? Because I will
be leaving the state in which we live in, and I will not see my anime husband for extended periods of time.
Yes,
but I will see him, you know, probably more often than my other friends, anyways.
And you've given me a reason to vacation, like
yes,
with you
knew
you more often.
I think so.
So, but so as a going away, this,
yeah, it's going away. Like last thing together, I think it'd be good to do a halfie.
So we will be training for a half marathon for the next several weeks. Well, probably like what?
3 months.
3 months, yeah, because we're going to do the December one, right?
Yep, but the 4 week one, that takes up a month. So is 2 months enough to train for a half marathon?
We're going to find out.
How many weeks was that half marathon plan? I didn't look at it.
13.
That's more than 2 months, isn't it?
I mean, up to 13, but like they said, you know, minimum 6 weeks to prepare.
Okay, that's like a month and a half.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get through.
We can train for a half marathon. If we're consistent, we can train. If we're more consistent with our run than our podcast, we can do a half marathon.
I mean, yeah. I run during work, so it's fine.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah, it's only like 20, 30 minutes, and then I come back.
You, like, at your desk, do you, like, have one of those running treadmills, one of those treadmill desks that you can, like,
Oh, let's take a longer lunch.
Oh, okay. I might get one of those. Get like a running desk or like a treadmill, put it under the desk, and then like when I'm standing, I'll just flip on the treadmill and just go for a run.
You won't be able to run though, because you won't be able to pay attention, would you?
There are plenty of meetings I'm on that I don't talk on. I don't talk in.
That's fair.
Yeah, but
excited.
Like
you excited to run in the cold?
I've done it before. It's not gonna be. Have you run in the cold before?
Yeah.
But what I'm more worried about running in the cold is when I start sweating, because like after the first minute I'm gonna be like dripping in sweat from the heat.
Yeah.
Where I'm gonna put like all the warm clothes I'm gonna wear leading up to it. Like, am I gonna keep wearing them? Am I gonna like put on extra layers and wrap some of them around me, bring like a backpack or something? I mean,
yeah.
I'm more worried about that than actually running in the cold.
Can you get new shoes, or are you gonna use your existing ones?
I bought running shoes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, like the tennis shoes I have are like running shoes, so I'm just gonna use those. I might though. Like, if I get good enough, if I feel like I'll probably spend a little bit of money on like some nice like athletic gear as like a reward for myself.
Yeah.
For the actual race.
That'd be cool.
Regardless of if I complete it or not. I mean, if I get like good enough, if I can do a 5K without
stopping.
Stopping, I'll consider that a success. I mean, even though a half mile or a half marathon isn't that long.
What? That's long for me.
I mean, time-wise, it's not that long.
2 hours.
Yeah, I've walked like 5 hours before. So
I mean, I have two, but not by choice.
I have by choice. 2 years ago, all summer long, when we were like home.
Yeah.
I would go outside and I would take to just start doing laps all day long. I was doing summer of 2020. I was doing anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 steps a day.
That's crazy. That's
good. Yeah. Though. So this will be,
it'll be good.
Yeah. Good to get back into that.
All right. I think that's all that I have about you.
Yeah. I think that's all I have to talk about too.
All right. We'll catch everyone next time when we watch and review. What is it again?
A Place Promised in Our Early Days.
A Place Promised in Our Early Days.
But yeah. The very first
Jinkai
feature film date.
All righty.
Not to date. Yeah. First feature film ever.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye.